Hello and welcome to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. Thank you for joining me today. It is 10 a.m. Pacific time on Tuesday, February 17th, 2026. I am happy to be here. We're having a lot of wind. I was just listening as I was being as quiet as I could, waiting for Serena to call me on. We're having a lot of wind again. So it's a little distracting. Grace keeps jumping up and looking for somebody to be at our door or something. It's kind of funny where she's concerned, not really for her, but for me. But if you've been listening to CA this morning or listen to CA's show, no matter when you're listening to this, it is an auspicious day today. And Serena and I were just talking about kind of a lot of energy, you know, just a lot of energy. And I was telling her that what I had mapped out for the show yesterday afternoon, today when I was working on it this morning, it just kind of took a different path. So, which is always exciting and which is always good, because when I follow my intuition, it's just, and allow it to just flow, you know, and take that turn. Because I've done, in the past, I've gone, no, this is what I'm doing. And it's just not going to be the same. You know, obviously, if I follow my intuition and the flow of energy, what I ended up with, I'm really excited to talk about, and includes, you know, part of what I had in mind to begin with, but a lot added to it. So I've got a good teaching segment. But as I said, the energy today is is loaded. It's just loaded because it's a solar eclipse, new moon, solar eclipse, Chinese New Year, first day, ushering the fire horse into the fire horse for the year, the Chinese astrological sign, which is powerful, powerful symbol. It's Fat Tuesday. Tomorrow's the first day of Lent, and it's the first day of Ramadan. So that's a lot of energy. And if you think about it, excuse me, it's a lot of beginning, right? Beginnings. So what happens when you're looking forward to something, you know, some new beginning, whatever those first days are? There's an anticipation. So all of that, I think, is kind of in this mixed pot of almost like chaotic. It's not really chaotic, but it's just a lot of energy. So anyway, it's kind of interesting to observe. And, you know, whether you personally believe that a solar eclipse or anything else, any astrological thing or whatever, it has any effect on you or not, it kind of doesn't matter. I mean, yes, for you personally, it does. It does, because that's your truth. But when these big things are a big part of the universal consciousness right now, the psychic sea that we all navigate through, we're all one thing. We're all energy. And we're all communicating with each other all the time on an energetic level. So we are affected by them, not necessarily by choice or by personal action, but just because that's what we're swimming around here in this psychic sea, in this universal consciousness. So anyway, it's just a cool thing to think about, I think, and to realize, and to just realize. And also, it makes you aware of what energy is yours and not yours. And, you know, energy that doesn't belong to you and you know it, you don't have to hold on to. You can release that. You can release it. We all can do that for ourselves. But I was thinking about when I realized that tomorrow is Ash Wednesday, the beginning of Lent, and Lent lasts 40 days. It's in remembrance of the 40 days that Jesus fasted in the desert and was tempted by the devil. And so I was raised Catholic. And so as a Catholic and there are other Christian denominations aside from Catholic that do observe Lent. So the deal was we had to give something up for Lent. And ideally, you know, theoretically, it should be something that you really like that you give up, like chocolate, you know, or as a kid, chewing gum, because it was supposed to be a sacrifice in honor of the sacrifice that Jesus made for us before he was crucified. And that, it, just reading about those 40 days that he spent in the desert and the temptations by the devil, from where I am now versus where I was, you know, certainly as a kid, or, you know, when I was a Catholic or when I was a born again Christian, from those places, man, it's powerful. It always was, but with a different understanding. I just have a different understanding. You know, God always meets you where you are. So evolution is always taken into consideration, right? We've changed, we've evolved, we've grown. But anyway, the idea of giving something up was supposed to be a sacrifice. And honestly, I don't remember if I ever made it through the whole 40 days as a kid. You know, if I actually was able to give that thing up for a whole 40 days. But the reason why this came to mind is I was amused by that, because I have a friend who is a practicing Catholic, an adult friend, not a kid. And one year she gave up red wine, to which, you know, to my recollection, she never drank red wine, or if she did, she didn't drink much red wine. She drank white, which she still drank during Lent because she gave up red wine. And that just gives me a chuckle. I think it's funny, and I'm not judging her and I'm not criticizing her. I'm just thinking, you know, it's kind of like giving up yellow M&Ms, but eating all the other colors. And to me, I just found it funny and amusing. And truly, maybe that's the trick for making it through 40 days. You know, you give up something you don't really like. Anyway, that made me laugh, and I'm in an amused mood this morning, so I thought I'd share it with you. This show is live on 12radio.com and streaming on YouTube. If you'd like to join the chat, you can go to 12radio.com and click chat. Or you can go to my YouTube page and join the chat over there. And the address is www.youtube.com/@@ Kelly W 1850. Or you can click the link in the 12radio chat room at the bottom of my banner. I don't do readings on the show, but if you would like a reading or a healing from me, you can find me every day on 12listen.com. Usually available later morning Pacific time into the evening. But if you don't see me or if I'm busy, you can schedule a call, put in a callback request. I'm notified immediately via text, and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. And I will always do my best to meet your schedule. And I would love to work with you. I'd love to work with you. We have reduced rates on calls and chats a few times a week on 12listen, typically Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday, and the 12th of each month, which is 12day, which we just had last week. If you want to be notified of our specials, you can just go to 12listen.com and sign up for 12promotions, which just means you leave your email address. And while you're there, you can post something that you're grateful for on the gratitude board. We all focus on that gratitude board. We moderate that board, the advisors of 12listen, and we add our attention to your intention. So whether it's in your reality or in your physical reality, in your experience right now, or something you're looking to bring in, you know, it's just support. It's additional support. So I encourage you to use it, and you can post anonymously. So why not? My Available for Love 15-minute time-based session is up still and will be up through the end of February on 12listen.com. And relationship is all of life is relationship, you know, and relationships are tricky business. So the point of this time-based session is to release old energy around relationships. And as I said, relationship is life, friends, family, pets, your home, or a romantic partner. everything is a relationship. It's all a give and take. And so it's important to release old energy to be a bit, to be available for a new experience. And that's what this is about. You know, we all have filters through which we see the world, and those filters are based on our experience, not truth. So being free of that baggage, those past beliefs, opinions, and fears make you present for new and wonderful experiences. So that's what we focus on. And it's a good session, very good session. And I just want to say thank you again for listening today, however and whenever you do. There is programming on 1-2 Radio 24/7, and there are archives of all of the shows from all of the hosts in the on-demand section at 12radio.com. You can download them anytime you want. 1-2 Radio is a great source of inspiration, information, and support. And again, just like the Gratitude Board, I encourage you to take advantage. It is our way to support you. So I just want to say thanks to Serena for producing the show today. And let's move into the teaching segment by listening to a few minutes of a piece of music called Bodhisattvas by David Gordon from the Buddha Lounge 3 CD and Sequoia Records. Enjoy it. I'll be back right after. Thank you again for being here. You're listening to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone.
Desire.
Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed our musical segue. I think it's just a good way to get into the teaching segment, to just have a little musical break, a way to shift our energy a little bit, shake up our energy. So today, I've got a lot to talk about. I want to talk about programming, or, you know, you can think of it as how we became who we think we are. And I touched on it a little bit last week, and I also touched on it in my article this week in the Power Peak. But I want to really take a deeper dive right now on the show today. And then I want to talk about the power of the word. So as I mentioned last week in my show with CA, I've been listening to and reading The Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz and The Fifth Agreement by Don Miguel and his son, Don Jose Ruiz. And they are just excellent, excellent books. When I first began listening to the agreement books, I'm just calling them the agreement books because that's a mouthful. I was so lit up because they explain concepts that I've known and honestly done my best to practice for years, primarily because of Stuart Wilde, who was my very first metaphysical teacher, not in person, but through his books and his tapes. And I have listened to in my life, I couldn't say how many hundreds of hours of Stuart Wilde cassette tapes, but they gave me an incredible foundation that that I always go back to. And Stuart talked a lot about, you know, about honor and being being magnanimous. And he referred to, like, you know, he has a whole there's a CD that he has, and you can get it, I'm sure, in other ways, called Camelot. And it's Power in the Present Age. And he just talks about, you know, the chivalry and the chivalrous knight and the honor. I guess honor is a good way to say it. But so I've got a lot of Stuart that comes into my consciousness constantly and in his voice. And he was, not only was he passionate about what he talked about, you know, and but he's hilarious. I mean, he is one of the funniest people I've ever listened to in my entire life. But, you know, just realizing as I was listening to the Agreements books that I know these concepts, but it was wonderful to hear them in different words and in different ways. And I found them very expansive and delightful. I mean, everything just opens your head a little further, right? As I said, all roads lead to Rome, and Rome is that you are God, that we are all one. But what's funny about this is I want to begin the teaching segment with a, I guess I can call it, it's a No Mistakes Universe story. Which I realized just a couple of days ago. So I got the Four Agreements on Audible. I had credits that I had accrued. So I used one for the Four Agreements. And I thought, you know, I think I'd like to hear something from Stuart. And so I used one of my credits for The Infinite Self, 33 Steps for Reclaiming Your Inner Power. And it's a Nightingale Conant production, which I have and have had probably since 96, when the book came out, or whenever the tapes came out. It's a series of cassette tapes. And I've listened to it, as well as many other of his tapes, as I said a minute ago, a million times, but not recently. So I guess I was missing Stuart. So I bought it on Audible. And the interesting thing is that I'd listened to the Four Agreements and the Fifth Agreement with several times since I bought them, which was a few weeks ago, about three weeks ago or so. And last weekend, I was kind of ready to shake things up a bit. So I listened to The Infinite Self and had an absolute blast just listening to Stuart. And there were parts of it that I know verbatim. Again, I listened to it many, many times. And of course, in a totally different way, he covers the same concepts in The Infinite Self. And of course he does, because those are powerful spiritual principles that have been taught since the beginning of time. But different voices, different teachers, different interpretations are how we grow. You know, it's just how we grow, and things hit us differently. You know, there are times, like I said, I hadn't listened to Stu in a while. I listened to a lot of other people, Alan Watts, Joel Goldsmith, Ram Dass. I mean, my circle keeps getting bigger and bigger of my teachers that I love and listen to and learn a lot from. But in this segment today, I want to talk about, and going forward, I want to talk about the agreements, you know, each agreement as Ruiz wrote about them. But I'll also share the work of Stuart Wilde and others on the same principles, because again, more voices, more, you know, we resonate with some people and we don't resonate with others. So don't give up. You know, I guess really, don't give up. If you get a tape or you get a book and it's like, man, this is going nowhere. I just can't. It's just not even doing anything for me. I would offer that you don't get rid of it, but just put it away for a while. Put it away and go back to a teacher that you really like. Read a book that maybe has been very powerful for you for many years. And then at some point, my feeling, because this is my personal experience, you'll be led to that book that you put away because it was so dry you couldn't get through it, or just such a different way of thinking about things that it didn't resonate. And it just might, because we are constantly evolving, we're constantly growing, and we have to, because we're the individualization of Source, and all God wants to do as us is become more and more of itself and expand and experience and have a great adventure called us, you know. You know, truth is truth. And I just love sharing it through the words of different teachers. So I want to start with talking about programming. And I did touch on this last week. But as I said, we're doing a deeper dive today. We are all one with God. And all that God is, we are. Therefore, we are inherently perfect, because we cannot be otherwise. Right? The truth of our being, the infinite self, is God, perfection. But we cannot realize that while we are stuck in the lack, fear, limitation, and restriction of human consciousness. You know, again, the thought atmosphere that I talked about earlier, or the universal consciousness that we navigate every day as human beings. That atmosphere consists of every thought and emotion of everyone who has ever been on this planet. Therefore, it is not truth. And given that, though, given that, I believe, really and truly, that our parents and the people in authority, if they weren't our parents, the people that raised us, did the best they could when we came into this, when we got here. You know, when we were born, they had to mold us. They had to teach us. I think the primary reason, their primary job was to keep us alive until we could do that for ourselves. And so a lot of that information in and of itself is very restrictive. Don't do this. Don't do that. Don't. Because I want you to be alive and be able to take care of yourself when the time comes. So a lot of what they gave us was those don'ts were fear-based, right? Keeping us safe. And also, they gave us what their parents gave them. Well, what else would they give, right? What else would they give? The rules, the beliefs, the values that they lived by. And we, because we didn't know any different, accepted them. You know, the person that puts you to bed at night, that feeds you, that takes care of you. Why wouldn't you believe everything that they said? Of course you would. As I said, we didn't know any different. Their beliefs became our beliefs. And good, bad, or indifferent, we can only live what we believe. Whether we realize that or not, or whether we deny that we believe something or not, it can't be any other way. You know, we accepted their beliefs. It's something that we accepted. And it's also part of what the atmosphere that we are in as incarnated beings. But, you know, those rules and values were just opinions. They were opinions of what's good and bad, right and wrong, what's acceptable and not acceptable, what's beautiful, what's not beautiful or ugly. No individual rules are hard, fast truth. They aren't. People are all different. And we came into this incarnation as individuals. And that's kind of a funny thing to think about when you look at a little baby that we think are, you know, like helpless in human terms, but eons beyond us spiritually and individually, because they're fresh from the source. They know no different. All they know is oneness, you know, their oneness with God. It takes them a while to realize that they are separate from the people that they have in their environments, from their mothers, from their, you know, from everything. They don't realize that they are separate. And that's an interesting thing to think about until they get a little older. But as I said, I got off on a tangent there for a second. We came in as individuals. There are no two people in the same evolution, nor have there ever been on this planet. And that includes a tiny newborn baby. So, you know, I don't know how often that individuality was nurtured or even realized by our parents, our families, our teachers. I don't know. You know, their job was to make us acceptable members of society, you know, beyond keeping us alive, was to be acceptable members of society, to do what good kids do, you know, what good boys and good girls do, and to be that. And part of that too was to not embarrass them, right? You act this way. This is how I want you to act. Because of course, we were their kids. And if we acted weird, whatever weird was, you know, it kind of, they took it personally. They took it personally. So anyway, Don Miguel Ruiz calls that domestication. And he compares us as young children, as babies, to computers. And he said that all the information is downloaded, all that information, all those rules, all those beliefs, all those right, wrongs, opinions are downloaded into our head. We believe what adults tell us, we agree with it, and it's stored in our memory. And he said, and I quote him, "Everything we learn goes into our mind by agreement, and it stays in our mind by agreement." And that is definitely food for thought. That's a sentence that kind of, that shook me up and made me think, really made me think. But now, Stuart Weil wrote, and this is on the same line, "In a hypnotic trance, you could review everything you have ever done, every word you've ever spoken, every experience you've ever been through. It's all there. You could recall how many footsteps it took to get to work today. Or you could recall your first coherent words. Nothing is lost. For within the mind are stored billions upon billions of units of information. And these pieces of information or characteristics make up the inner you. This system of recording begins at birth. The mind programs and stores all your thoughts and feelings, and it accepts whatever emotions, fears, and limitation it is taught. If a mother says to her child, "Put on your coat or you'll catch your death of cold," the subconscious mind of the child accepts that as an authoritarian belief pattern. And the next time the child goes out without a coat, his or her mind brings forward the energy that says, "Lack of coat, sickness." And he or she develops a cold. This type of negative programming builds up. And for the first 13 years of life, children accept totally whatever their parents or guardians tell them. They accept their elders' beliefs, attitudes, values, and thought patterns. After their 13th year, they spiritually come of age and begin to experience and develop the energy that's been created. So, Stuart said, I find that interesting. Sorry, I had about five things going in my head at the same time there for a second. that last sentence, after the 13th year, they spiritually come of age and begin to experience and develop the energy that's been created. So everything we believe about how we should live, our world, other people, and most importantly, what we believe about ourselves is based on judgments and opinions. And that includes our own judgments and opinions. That includes our own judgments and opinions. But these are all judgments and opinions that we've agreed to. So Neville Goddard said, our self-concept is what we accept and agree to as ourselves. Beliefs and agreements are not truth. They're not truth, obviously. And I've said that five times in this teaching segment already, and I'm probably going to say it more than that. But in fact, they keep us from seeing the truth of our perfection and the perfection of everyone and everything that exists, which is God. Because we have to conform. We have to conform. You know, Alan Watts talks a lot about, I don't remember what the talk was, but it just came into my head. So, you know, he talks about things that are taboo. You know, what things are taboo? And in this whole lecture, he narrows that down as he's talking about it. And he's going, well, is this taboo? Is it, you know, what is it? Is this taboo? Is this taboo? He goes, what I think taboo is, what we're not supposed to look at, not supposed to engage, not supposed to talk about, is that we are God. So, you know, talking about how we're programmed, you know, how we're influenced, how we're controlled, you know, controlled. All of that being said, we are God. And we chose this. We chose this. You know, Stuart would say our higher self chose the families we were born into and the circumstances of our lives for the first 13 years. We had a good idea of what we were getting into. We knew. Well, of course we did, because we're God, right? Our higher self is God. It's the infinite self. But not only did we know what we're getting into, like, oh, I'm going to sacrifice myself and throw myself into that crappy family with a mean sister and brother and, you know, parents who don't care, whatever it is, you know, we chose our families for growth consciously. And there is no greater opportunity for growth than through our family relationships. We came, our purpose, the purpose of every human being is to discover who we are, the individualization of source. And we do that through overcoming adversity. That's the only way we grow. That's the only way we evolve, through overcoming adversity. And adversity, not only just hard times and hard stuff, but life's going to show up as it does. And when it's not what we want it to be, and this, I've got to share a quote. I'm grabbing a sticky note that I wrote as I was listening to Stuart. He said, negative energy or circumstances is only a contradiction to the ego's opinion. So adversity, that was timely. Adversity is not only the hard times. As I said, life comes as it does. Life doesn't do anything to us. Doesn't do anything to us. Life is just life, being life. Things happen. We live in a temporal incarnation. Everything that comes into being goes out of being. That's just what this is. But what is eternal is the truth of our being, that infinite God self. We're eternal. And if we come from that eternal place, if we spend time there, realize that, hold on to that, live in that, then we can see the things that come up as just, okay, this is not my favorite thing. This is really tough. But at the same time, it's not going to end me. You know, something might leave, you know, your car might get stolen, or, you know, things happen, or someone you care for passes away. That's life. And that expands us as individuals. That expands our compassion, or it can, if we use it in that way. But through those things, through adverse situations or things we don't like, we become bigger and we become stronger in our conviction of who we are, the truth of our being. So the limiting beliefs that we've agreed to, not only as young children, but all through our lives, you know, where our agreements change, right? Because we change, we grow. So we have agreements as to who we, you know, who we were and how things go at school, through our education, and then through our work, our employment, and our work with other people, through our relationships, our bodies, our health, our behavior, our likes and dislikes, and how we view the world. You know, all these agreements can be changed because they're not truth. Again, they're not truth. But they can be changed when we really realize, and it's easier to change them. It's easier to identify them and then work on changing them when we realize that there is no power external to us. None. None. We are the individualization of Source. And we can overrule limiting agreements with positive, life and love affirming ones. And that's what the Four Agreements books are about. The Four Agreements and the Fifth Agreement book. So I want to start, I think I can get through this. So I want to go, I want to talk about the first agreement, which is the power of the word. And the first agreement is to be impeccable with your word. The word is the power to create. It is the power to create. You know, John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Well, that's John's reference to Jesus as the Word of God. But the creation story in Genesis, you know, when the world was without form and void and covered in darkness, God said, let there be light. After creating man and everything else out of himself, God said, this is good. God said, this is good. Remember that. So Ruiz said, regardless of what language you speak, your intent manifests through the word. What you dream, what you feel, what you really are, will all be manifested through the word. Now, for me, and my, you know, what I teach, what I work with, what I've worked with for 20 years is the chakra system. And in the chakra system, the fifth or throat chakra at the base of your neck, in your, like that notch of your collarbone, is the communication center in the energetic body. But it's far more powerful than that. It's also the bridge between the spiritual centers and the physical centers. They go from complete spirituality, the gateway to the God of our heart and the crown at the top of our head, to the sixth chakra, which is our sanctuary, our inner sanctuary, the place where we catch. It's our imagination space, our clairvoyance space. And then, so we catch through the crown come creative ideas and inspiration and intuition. And we kind of catch those in the sixth with our imagination. But we own them through our word, through our throat. So the throat is not just the center of communication, but it's the center through which you speak your truth. And your truth belongs to no one but you. It's who you are, what you want, what you have to give. It is the center through which you own your intentions and through which you own your divinity. I am. Creative ideas, intuition, as I said, come through, but they're spoken and owned through the word, which gives them, they're kind of fleshed out in the imagination, but then they're owned through the word, which you may only speak to yourself in the mirror or in your head. But they catch the fire of passion and love in the heart chakra, and then they manifest through the self-expression and will of the third chakra. So that's kind of an interesting thing to think about. It's where we own our truth, the word, the word. Then the impeccability part of make your of the first agreement, which is, I got to go back, be impeccable with your word. I wanted to say it correctly. He wrote, impeccability means without sin. A sin is anything you do which goes against yourself. When you are impeccable, you take responsibility for your actions, but you do not judge or blame yourself. Being impeccable with your word is not using the word against yourself. That's from the four agreements. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. There is no other. So no matter who you are talking to or criticizing or complaining about, you are using your word against yourself because there is no other. And remember, we not only speak words, but we think them, and they have the same effect, which is karma. And karma simply means something done, something done. But there is no action without reaction. And you know how your body feels when you say or do something that goes against your integrity. That's karma. That's instant karma. That's your body feeling that wasn't the right thing to do. And then at that point, you got to do something to get rid of it. You got to deal with it within yourself to forgive yourself, because you don't want to hold on to that. It's something that happened. You want to face it, do what you need to do, and move on. We all make mistakes. We all do, all the time. That's why we're here. So in the chapter called The Power of the Word in the Game of Life and How to Play It, Lawrence Scovel Shin said, well, actually first, Jesus said, by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. That's Matthew 12:37. Florence wrote, a person knowing the power of the word becomes very careful of his conversation. He has only to watch the reaction of his words to know that they do not return void, which is a reference to Isaiah 55:11. Through his spoken word, man is continually making laws for himself. There's an old saying that man only dares use his words for three purposes: to heal, bless, or prosper. What man says of others will be said of him. What he wishes for another, he's wishing for himself. Stuart wrote in The Infinite Self, establishing your word as law is important. The mind is used to getting away with a lot of promises it never intends to keep. You tell yourself you'll do this and that, and then you don't. You promise to pay your friend on Saturday and you forget, or you deliberately duck out of your obligation. It's important to establish your word as law unto yourself and others, because that in itself becomes an affirmation of your ever-developing authority over the ego. If you say to yourself that you'll do something, do it. Don't make promises you won't keep, and don't make promises to others you can't or won't follow through on. Become immaculate. Be honorable. A life without honor is not worth having. Don't commit if you don't have to. If you aren't sure, you can always follow through. You can always say, I'm not sure. Call me in a week. Making your word law. By making your word law, you develop power. So I want to go back to what he said about making your word a law unto yourself is an affirmation of your ever-developing authority over the ego. Our ego is a construct. It's been built. It is our personality. It is what, again, what we accept and agree to as our self-concept. But it's built from all those things that we've learned. And all those, you know, the agreements that we have with ourselves, the beliefs that we have about ourselves, it's all that. It's from that early from through our influences, prenatal, early childhood environment, education, and life experience. The ego is built and built and built, and the ego is mortal. It is not true, and its purpose is to keep us safe and separate. So whenever we go, you know, beyond, like in this case, talking about honoring your word as law and treating it as such, we're going past the ego. We're going past the personality to truth, to really truly being a big and honorable person. You know, I think that establishing your word as law is really part of living in integrity. As Stuart would say, it's being a big person, being magnanimous. And, you know, I really love this, as you can tell. I'm just excited about this and lit up by it, because all of this is positive stuff. It's realization that whatever it is that bugs us, whatever it is that we've agreed to, you know, the smallness that we've agreed to isn't truth, and we don't have to have it. We don't have to have it. But again, it's been a part of our experience, a part of our evolution. So it is not wrong or bad. No matter what happened, it is not wrong or bad. It just is. So, you know, another big deal here is to not give it any more power than just what happened. You know, what we were taught, what we agreed to. Okay, I agreed to that. Obviously, I agreed to it or I wouldn't be experiencing it. Obviously, I believed it or I wouldn't be experiencing it. But I don't have to continue to have it. I don't. I make a different choice. I make a different choice. So all of this, as I said, positive stuff, positive information, powerful stuff from three powerful teachers adds positively to your vibration. Incorporating it adds positively to your vibration. And what you vibrate at, you attract. That's it. You get what you give. And this gives you a lot more good stuff to give, which expands you and blesses your world. So I feel good. I hope you do too. Thank you for being with me today. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope some of it resonated with you. But if not, that's okay too. Thanks for being here. You've been listening to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. We're here on 1-2 Radio, where we're changing the way that you listen to the world. Please stay tuned for Katie Weaver. Thanks, everyone, and have a very blessed week.